I'm glad to be here today. It's been an exciting time this weekend. I've got lost in Reidsville this morning. That was exciting. Our next child is actually going to be named Atlanta, so it's okay. And maybe we'll have a child named Reidsville. You never know. No, I'm just kidding. I also want to extend congratulations to the graduates. Graduation is an exciting time in many people's lives. I was explaining last night how I graduated from diapers. I graduated from the passenger seat to the driver's seat, and then I graduated high school. It was right along. And now we have our own daughter, and we're excited to see her not graduate yet. Okay? So she'll graduate in time, but we're excited to have a little daughter, too. I'm going to have Courtney stand up very briefly, just so you can see her, if you haven't met her already. This is my wife. She is... She's glad to be a mother, and hopefully the Savannah will be quiet, but if not, I'm sure y'all will be okay with that, because she's a baby. I wanted to open up today and just kind of give you a little testament of who I am and where I came from. I grew up in central Pennsylvania. Yes, I'm a Yankee. I hope that's okay. And growing up was tough for me. When I was 6 years old, my father did something to my sister that no father should ever even think about doing. I remember walking home from school one day and seeing a guy that I've only met once before explain to me that my father had to leave. I remember walking on the sidewalk, looking at my father, saying, "Daddy, Daddy, please don't go." It was hard. I remember going to sleep that night, laying in my parents' bed on my father's side, saying, "Mommy, Mommy, Daddy's coming back, right?" And her saying, "I don't know, baby, I don't know." Fast forward to my 13th year, almost 14. Our neighbor had called child services and explained to them that my mother was unfit to raise us. And that was tough because I didn't have my father and I didn't have my mother now. So we were put in foster care for a little while. And it was April 8th, my birthday. I was in foster care, not near any family. But I was okay with that because it was my birthday and I was having fun. The next day, we got a phone call from a family friend of ours. And she explained that my mother was not doing very well and she was in the hospital. I remember going to the hospital, meeting my mom, and seeing family. But the one thing that was wrong was my mom wasn't talking. She couldn't. She had tubes down her mouth. She had tubes in places I've never seen tubes before. What I saw with my mother was something that no 14-year-old or nobody at all should ever see. It was a scary, scary sight. I left that day not knowing exactly what was going to happen. I got home that night and found out that my mother had passed away in the hospital. I was 14. So I lost my father when I was 6, and I lost my mother when I was 14. If there's one thing I would tell any of the people here today, students, love your parents because you never know when they're not going to be there anymore. And parents, vice versa, love your students, love your children because you never know what's going to happen. So I went into a stage of depression at age 14, and it was a rough time in my life. I don't know how I managed to get through it. God knows how I got through it, but I don't. I was required to move from central Pennsylvania to near Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, to live with my aunt and uncle. And they're the ones that kind of said, "Christian, you have to go to church," and they required it. I'm not a big fan of requiring students to go to church, but I think in this case it worked for me. Because I met a man, his name was Dan. Dan was a fantastic youth pastor to me. He taught me many things. And the one thing they taught me that was most important to me is that God has a purpose for your life. And that meant the world to me. I had to make a couple decisions when I was in high school. Who I was going to hang out with. Where, you know, am I going to go to church? I accepted Christ as my Savior when I was 15. And my life changed drastically. I had to make new friends. I had to do things differently. Christ really spoke in my life. It was my senior year in high school, and I had to make a decision. Am I going to go to college? Am I going to join the military? What am I going to do? And let me just say real quick, those of you that are going to college, that's awesome. Those of you that are going to the military, fantastic. We don't appreciate our military enough today. We need to always remember our military. They're the ones that gave us the freedoms that we have. Those of you that are going to college, again, that's great. Get a job, raise a family, and always keep Christ at your center. Back to college for me, though. I had to make a decision. I decided, am I going to go to college to become a youth pastor? Because I felt a little calling there. Or am I going to go to college to become a teacher? Because I love teaching. I've never taught a day in my life, but I figured that'd be a cool job to have. I loved history. I still love history. If y'all want anything about history, just come talk to me. I don't know a whole lot, but maybe I'll give you a little insight. But I decided to go to Philadelphia Biblical University, where I met some great guys and really grasped the idea of a calling to youth ministry and to ministry in general. I got my degree, and I graduated, and it was time to move on. Was I going to get a job now, or was I going to, you know, continue my education? And I had got a job for a little bit, but the job didn't work out the way I thought it should, and so I decided to go to Liberty University to further my degree. So I lived in the north, and then God brought me to the promised land, flowing with sweet tea and barbecue sauce. I love the South. I should have been born in the South, because I told you in the interview on Skype that sweet tea is just amazing. And I mean, we don't have sweet tea. We have lemon tea. It's just not the same. And barbecue is great too. I love it. We just got a cookout in Lynchburg, Virginia. And you talk to my wife, I love cookout. We've been there like 6 times, maybe a little more. It's only been there like 2 months. We love cookout. Love barbecue. Love the South. I think I'm a Southerner at heart. So I graduated, I went to Liberty, I got my master's degree, I met my wife, which is the most important thing, and now we have a beautiful daughter. And we're excited to be able to minister the Word of God wherever He leads. And if it's here, I'm excited. And if it's not, that's okay too, because I know God has a place for each of us. And God has a place for you. And I think God has a place for the fussy baby too. So let's go ahead and get started. If you have your Bibles, if you open up to Psalms, which is kind of right in the middle, right after Job, right before Proverbs. I'm going to go ahead and read a story. I once read a story about a professor and a man in the Holy Land who claimed to have memorized the entire Old Testament in Hebrew. Just like the professor, I was just as stunned while reading the story. I kept thinking to myself that this almost seems impossible. I cannot memorize the whole Old Testament in English, let alone Hebrew. But this man claimed he did. The professor, as surprised as the man, had asked the man if he could go over to his house at one point and listen to this man recite sections of the Old Testament in Hebrew. And the man agreed. So they went over to the house of the man, and a professor pulled out his Hebrew Bible and began to ask the man to recite sections. The man asked where to start. The professor said, "Well, how about Psalms chapter 1? And the man began to recite Psalm 1 in Hebrew, and sure enough, he was right. The only thing that stunned the professor was this man was not a believer. A man memorized the entire Bible, entire Old Testament, in Hebrew, and he wasn't even a Christian. How many of you can sit here and raise your hand and say, "I memorized the entire Old Testament in English, and I'm a believer"? I can't. But this man, a non-believer, was able to do that. And that just shocked me. How can you have a non-believer memorizing the entire Old Testament, and you can't have the entire Old Testament memorized in English by believers themselves? Yet they can memorize songs, they can memorize movie quotes, but they can't memorize the Word of the Word of God. It's just stunning. Let's go ahead and get started. I'm going to read Psalms chapter 1, starting in verse 1 and reading all the way through verse 6. I'm reading in the New Living Translation. I hope that's okay. It's not technically a translation, but it's a paraphrase, and I think it's a little bit easier to understand for some people. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1, starting. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly. For the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. A little background on Psalms. It's a fantastic book. It's probably one of my favorite books in the Old Testament. It's broken down into different key sections. It's broken down into Psalms that are about Thanksgiving, Psalms that are more hymnal and liturgical. This particular Psalm is not really attributed to David or Solomon, because we don't really know. It's more of a psalm that summarizes the whole entire book of Psalms, let alone the whole entire Bible. But it was written either around the time of King Solomon or King David. So it could be either one, but we're not exactly sure. But it is a good psalm for everyone here to memorize. I want to go over verse 1 real quick. Verse 1 says, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked." All of us here are sinners. If you're not a sinner, can you stand up? Because I want to meet you. We're all sinners. We all commit sins. We all do things that we regret. We all do dumb things. We all do stupid things. We all do things we know we shouldn't do. We all lie. We all have said probably a naughty word back in the day. We're all sinners. But God commands us to be different. He commands us to be worthy of His name. He commands us to be like His Son, Jesus Christ. We all have to make a decision in our life. Are we going to be godly? Or are we going to be ungodly? Are we going to be a servant to God? Or are we going to be a hindrance to God? Are we going to be a sheep? Or are we going to be a goat? What are we going to be? Are we going to live on solid ground? Or are we going to live on sand? We have to make a decision. You see here in verse 1, it says, those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join in with mockers. That's explaining a succession of a sinner. You see, sinners kind of have this little snowball effect. You taste a little bit of sin, you want a little bit more, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, worse and worse and worse. Until you understand that you have to make a decision. Again, it's back to servant, hindrance. Godly, ungodly. What are you going to decide to do? My prayer here, and I'm sure it's the prayer of all the deacons and the laymen and the pastor, is that you all would choose to be a servant and not a hindrance. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers." As I was explaining in my testimony, in high school I had to make a whole new group of friends. When I first moved down, I was in that state of depression, and I made friends just because I wanted friends. These friends were not a very good influence on my life. Some of them drank, some of them did drugs. They definitely said words that I shouldn't say, words that my mom would not be happy with. I had to make a decision. And we all here, I'm sure, hang out with people. I'm not sitting here saying don't hang out with unbelievers, because I'm not saying that at all. In fact, if we did that, we wouldn't have any witnessing opportunities at all. What I'm saying is, when you go to someone for advice, go to someone that you know you can trust. Go to someone that's going to help you and not hinder you. make wise decisions with your friends. Verse 2. They delight in the law of the Lord, talking about Christians, talking about believers, meditating on it day and night. When I first became a Christian, and even sometimes today, and I'm sure you all go through this time too, have a little bit of difficulty with devotions and staying focused and doing them daily. I remember when I first became a Christian, I would open my Bible maybe once a week. It's probably not a good idea, let me tell you that, because Christians, you are not going to grow in the Lord. You're not going to grow in your faith. You're not going to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit if you're not opening this thing right here. It's called a Bible. I call it the love letter from God. It's the greatest love letter ever written. It's an explanation of everything you need to know about life. It's all right here. Read it. Next thing, pray. Talk to God. And I'm not saying, "Dear Jesus, thank you for this food. It was so good. Thank you, Jesus. Amen." That's praying, and I'm thankful for you to do that. But it goes beyond that. And I'm not talking about praying 3 times a day and before you go to bed and waking up. That's not a relationship. If you talk to your wife 3 times a day and before you go to bed, brother, you're going to be in the doghouse, okay? If you talk to your friends 3 times a day, that friendship's not going to last. So why do we as Christians talk to our Savior, our God, 3 times a day and think that's enough? Because it's not. It requires a relationship. That's what God wants us to. He created us to be in relationship with Him. Jesus prayed, and Jesus is God. And if God had to pray to God, I think His believers, the ones He loves, has to pray to Him too. So I highly, highly encourage you guys to pray daily. Verse 3. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit in each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. Again, talking about Christians. We are to be ready as Christians at all times. You never know when your life's going to end. Plus, you never know when an unbeliever is going to come up to you and ask you a question. The scripture says right in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, to be ready at all times. Graduates that are going off to college, guys, this is an exciting time. But never lose your faith. Always remember to do your devotions. Always remember to pray to God and be ready. Because you never know. College is going to probably bring you things you've never had before. Hard things. Hard times. Hard decisions. You're not going to have your parents there to say no. You're the one that's going to have to make a decision. So I highly, highly encourage you guys to read your Bible, pray. Desire that relationship that God wants from you. And don't be afraid of it. Because college is going to come, and things are going to be thrown at you from people like your professors. You would think people that are older than you are respectable. And yes, they are respectable, but not everything they say is respectable. Remember your roots. Remember where you're from. You're from North Carolina. Remember your family. Never forget what they provided for you. But most importantly, never forget God. We never know when that time's going to come. Never know. Verses 4 is kind of a whole new change now. It goes from the Christians to the non-Christians. This is verse 4. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment, and sinners will have no place among the godly. Sinners won't survive. They might have the exciting time of enjoying that temporary pleasure from sin. But let me tell you that being drunk is, I've never been drunk personally, but being drunk might be fun for some people, but 10 minutes later they're puking. Being high might be fun for some people, but 10 minutes later, they don't know what they did 10 minutes ago. Lying might get you somewhere temporarily, but it's only going to hurt you in the end. Being angry is only going to get you somewhere, but it's going to hurt people. Sinning gets you nowhere in life. Nowhere. Choosing to be a Christian gets you everywhere. And finally, I'm going to go look at verse 6. It says, "For the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction." Like I said, sin leads to nowhere but destruction. Some of you might enjoy sinning. I enjoyed sinning when I was a sinner. I'm still a sinner. And when I do stupid things, I might admit they might be fun, but they're stupid. And they get me nowhere. And I have to look to God and say, "God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me." And I hope everybody in here has made that decision to say, "God, I'm sorry for the things I've done. I'm so thankful for you and for what you've done. I'm thankful for what you've provided me with. But most importantly, I'm thankful for the Son that you provided me with. Because now I can understand what you've done for me. And I can understand that no longer am I going to hell, but I'm going to heaven." And that's the biggest decision you'll make in your life. There are important decisions we make. What college to go to, who to marry, how many kids to have. But the most important one to make is this decision to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you have a piece of paper with you right now, I would like for you to pull it out. If not, that's okay. So if you have one, take a minute or two to get a piece of paper out and a pen. And on that piece of paper, I want you to write down what you spend the majority of your time doing each day. And as you're writing it down, I want you to think about what you're doing. I want you to think about what your daily routine consists of. And now that you've, had the opportunity to do that, I want to look at what you've done. For those of you that have said, "I don't have time for God. I don't have time to do my devotions." Look at your list. What can you get rid of on that list to make time for God? Some of you might go fishing. I talked to somebody in the office earlier who loves to go fishing. Maybe it's okay to give up 10 minutes, 20 minutes to go from fishing to study the Word of God. Some of you might like to play sports or watch TV. I love the History Channel, Pickers and Pawn Stars and all those great shows on the History Channel, and we love those shows. But it's okay to give up those shows once or twice a day to study the Word of God, to have a relationship with Him. I want you to look on the, turn over the piece of paper that you just had, and I want you to write on the other side. And on that side of the piece of paper, I want you to write down the list, or list the people who you hang out with the most. On that list are people that you desire to spend the most time with. Now look at that list. Is that list a list of people that has a major impact on your life in a positive way? Or does that list of people that you desire to hang out with affecting you in a negative way? I want you guys to walk away from here today understanding that the people you hang out with the most are the people that affect you the most. And if some people on that list are affecting you in a negative way, we might have some problems. And I'm not saying don't hang out with them. What I'm trying to say here is that the people that we hang out with should be believers the most. Because they are the ones that are going to impact our lives. Those are the ones that are going to give us the best advice and influence us the most in a most positive way. The final thing I want to say to you guys today is we are to be solid Christians who live a life worthy of Christ. In order to live a life worthy of Christ, we should delight ourselves in the Word, and we should also spend adequate time with Jesus Christ. It is so important that we live life personally with Christ. The best way to do this is reading His Word daily and praying daily. If we're not doing that, if we're not delighting in His Word, if we're not delighting in conversation with Him, then we're not going to grow as Christians. We're not going to grow as a church. We're not going to grow as a community. So, my prayer for you is that you would always remember your roots in Jesus Christ, just as you always remember your roots here in North Carolina. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank You so much for Your Word and what You've blessed us with. We thank You for You and Your Son. I'm so thankful, God, that You have sent Your Son to die on the cross for me, because through Him I'm saved. I'm able to meet You, God. So, God, I just pray now as the congregation here goes home today, that they would reflect on the words that were spoken by reading Your Word and by desiring that relationship with You the most. We thank You, God, and praise You for all that You do. In Your name, and I pray. Amen.